For decades, I mean, the golden rule of business was just incredibly simple, right? The biggest army wins.
Right. Yeah. It was all about scale.
Exactly. And if you're a small business owner listening to this, or, you know, maybe you're managing a tiny, scrappy team inside a larger company, you definitely know that feeling.
Oh, absolutely.
That feeling of looking across the competitive landscape at a massive organization. You've got Goliath over there with endless resources, giant budgets, and like 100 engineers.
And then there's you.
Right. You're David. You have 5 people and a slingshot.
Mm.
But what if I told you that as of June 2026, David doesn't just have a slingshot anymore?
He's got a lot more than that now.
Yeah. He has an automated factory. And Goliath's massive size has suddenly become his biggest vulnerability.
It is a complete inversion of the conventional wisdom. I mean, we've operated for so long under this assumption that scale is just an insurmountable moat.
Right.
The logic was always, well, if you throw more human capital at a problem, you build more, you ship faster, and you cover more ground.
Because you have more hands on deck.
Exactly. But that logic is breaking down in real time.
Which brings us to our focus today for this deep dive. We're pulling from a really fascinating June 2026 report. It's titled, The Company OS Scaling Small Teams Beyond Big Tech.
It's a great read.
It really is. And our mission for this deep dive is to look at the exact concrete mechanics of how a lean, you know, 5-person team can fundamentally neutralize the traditional advantages of big tech scale. We're looking at a completely leveled playing field.
And to set the stakes for you listening, we really have to emphasize that this is no longer just a theoretical white paper exercise.
Right. This isn't just someone guessing about the future.
No, not at all. We are looking at hard data from operational pioneers in frontier AI labs. The old rules of scale haven't just been slightly amended. They've been entirely rewritten by technological leverage.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because to prove this isn't just industry hype, we really need to look at the numbers. Like, what kind of efficiency gains are we actually seeing on the frontier right now that validates this shift?
Well, if we look at internal data from Anthropic.
And they're one of the heavy hitters, right?
Yeah, for context, they are one of the leading frontier AI research labs in the world. And their numbers, as of June 2026, are just staggering. According to their internal tracking, 80% of their code base is now written by AI.
Wait, 80%?
80. Yes.
So 80% of the code driving one of the most advanced AI companies in the world is being written by the AI itself. That is wild.
It is. And the direct consequence of offloading that massive volume of work is an 8x explosion in coding efficiency compared to where the industry was just, you know, 2 years ago in 2024.
An 8x multiplier.
Yeah. And when you really process that number, that 8x multiplier, you realize we are witnessing the removal of the biological technical speed limit of a business.
The biological speed limit. I like that phrasing.
Right. Because every organization traditionally has a speed limit dictated by human capacity. There is a physical cap on how fast a human engineer can type out syntax.
Or how fast they can debug an error.
Exactly. Or even just how many lines of code they can hold in their working memory at one time.
So you introduce a tool that shatters that biological cap, and suddenly one software engineer is executing the output of 8. The math of business just fundamentally changes there.
It really does.
A 5-person AI native team is effectively outputting the work of a 40-person powerhouse.
You're replacing biological constraints with technological leverage.
Let me put an analogy to this, just because I'm trying to visualize the structural impact of that much speed. Imagine a crew team in a small wooden rowboat. Right?
I'm with you.
You have 5 people rowing their hearts out. They are perfectly synchronized. They're working incredibly hard. But there is a physical limit to how fast they can push that boat through the water using just sheer human muscle.
Right. They can only row so fast.
Exactly. So introducing this 8x AI efficiency isn't just like giving them lighter oars. It's taking a massive state-of-the-art outboard motor and bolting it to the back of their little rowboat.
That's a great image.
Suddenly, they're flying across the water at a speed muscles could never achieve.
It's a very visual way to frame the transition from human output to automated execution.
But I have to push back here for a second. If you actually bolt a massive outboard motor to a tiny wooden rowboat, the force of that motor is almost certainly going to tear the boat apart.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. The physical structure of a rowboat is not designed to handle the torque and drag of going 40 miles an hour. So if 5 people suddenly have the raw output of 40 people, doesn't that just create structural chaos?
It's a very real risk.
Like, how does a small team actually manage that much raw, unbridled output without all their internal systems completely breaking down under the pressure?
This raises an important question, and honestly, the failure to answer it is exactly why some teams just use AI to create faster chaos.
Faster chaos, yeah, I've seen that happen.
You cannot apply an 8x output multiplier to an old organizational structure and expect it to hold together. The solution, the reinforced hull of your rowboat, to stick with your analogy, is what the source material calls the company OS.
The company operating system.
Yes, and the first critical distinction the report makes is that the company OS is not a piece of software you can just go out and buy off the shelf from a vendor.
Right. It's not a SaaS product.
Exactly. You cannot pay a monthly subscription to get a company OS. It is a bespoke infrastructure that a business has to actively build and maintain itself.
And the report specifically notes that this infrastructure lives in a shared repository, which is typically hosted on a platform like GitHub.
Right.
And for those of you who don't spend their days looking at code, GitHub is traditionally where software developers store, track, and manage their programming code. But in this new model, companies are using it to encode the actual day-to-day workflows of the business itself.
It's a total shift in how we use these tools.
The report states you encode the workflows of your top 1% of performers into this executable repository. But, I mean, how does a company actually do that? How do you take a human's expertise and encode it?
So encoding a workflow basically means breaking a complex task down into programmable decision trees that an application programming interface or an API can trigger.
Okay, so mapping out the exact steps.
Exactly. You are effectively taking human judgment and turning it into a series of if-then commands for an AI agent. You observe how your absolute best employee handles a task like what data they look for, what decisions they make based on that data, what systems they update.
And then you just script that exact sequence into the shared repository.
You do, which leads directly to what the report calls the death of the playbook.
Oh, I love that phrase.
Because traditional small and medium businesses run on static documents. We're talking about, 50-page PDFs, dusty training manuals, elaborate flowcharts.
Oh, yeah, the giant binder. You hire someone new, you hand them a 3-ring binder, and you say, here is our customer onboarding playbook. Read this and do what it says.
And those documents are famously outdated the moment someone hits print.
They really are. It's like handing a new hire a static recipe card. They can read the recipe, but they still have to manually chop the onions, stir the sauce, and monitor the oven.
They're still doing the work.
Right. They have to do all the labor. But turning those workflows into an encoded company OS replaces the static recipe card with an automated sous chef.
What's fascinating here is how that looks in practice. Let's walk through a concrete example of that shift, because the operational difference is just profound.
Yeah, let's hear it.
So in the legacy model, onboarding a new customer might mean an employee reads the PDF, manually logs into Salesforce to create a profile, spends 20 minutes hunting down a specific email template.
Always 20 minutes looking for the right template.
Always. Then they copy and paste the customer's data, send the email, and then manually create a Jira ticket for the technical team to provision an account.
It's an entire afternoon of administrative friction.
But under a company OS, that entire sequence is encoded into the repository. The new hire simply opens a chat interface like Slack and triggers an onboarding skill.
So it's a slash command or something.
Exactly. That's it. The encoded AI agent takes over. It autonomously pulls the data via API, drafts and sends the welcome email, and triages the technical setup tasks in the background in a matter of seconds. The system itself performs the manual labor.
What's fascinating here is how this entirely shifts the burden of execution. I mean, in the legacy playbook model, the company provided the knowledge, the PDF, but the burden of execution rested entirely on the human's shoulders.
The human was the engine.
Right. Knowledge was something an employee had to read and then manually act upon. But in the company OS paradigm, knowledge is something the system does. You aren't just storing information in a wiki. You are storing active capabilities.
You're capturing the exact behavioral sequence of your best employee and turning it into a push-button operation that anyone, literally on any day, can run flawlessly.
Which fundamentally changes the day-to-day reality of the human workers. Because if the system is executing these complex workflows, and as we learned from the Anthropic data earlier, AI is writing 80% of the code, what is the human actually doing?
That's the million-dollar question.
Right. If they aren't writing the emails or writing the bulk of the syntax, what is their job? And that leads directly to the structural concept the report calls the captain model.
Yeah, and to fully grasp the power of the captain model, we really have to look at why Goliath, the large, heavily resourced organization, actually fails to move quickly. The report points out that large organizations are universally bogged down by what we call handoffs.
The corporate game of telephone.
Exactly that. Imagine the life cycle of a new software feature in a traditional big tech company. A product manager comes up with an idea and writes a specification document.
Okay.
They hand that document off to a designer. The designer interprets the document and creates a visual mock-up. Then they hand the mock-up off to a front-end engineer to build the interface.
I can already see the delays piling up.
Oh, it gets worse. The front-end engineer then hands it off to a back-end engineer to connect the database. And finally, it gets handed to a quality assurance tester. Every single one of those handoffs is a fracture point.
Right. Context is lost, friction is introduced, miscommunications happen.
And weeks of time are wasted just waiting in someone else's queue.
Enter the captain model. Because in a lean team running a company OS, you completely eliminate those handoffs. Instead, a single non-technical owner like maybe a product manager or an operations lead manages that entire feature from the spark of the idea all the way to pushing it live in a production.
And they execute this by utilizing autonomous AI agents. The report specifically mentions tools like Devin, which is designed to act as an autonomous software engineer, or Anthropic's Claude.
Right.
The human captain uses these agents to handle the bricks and mortar of the coding and deployment.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because if you are a listener managing a small team right now, think about how radically empowering that is. You do not need to be a software engineer with 10 years of specialized experience to ship a complex technical feature anymore.
The barrier to entry has completely evaporated.
The profile of who can build technology changes entirely. The captain is no longer constrained by their own inability to write syntax.
Let's paint a picture of a day in the life of a captain, just to make it real. They wake up, grab their coffee, and instead of spending 4 hours writing boilerplate code, they spend their morning reviewing the pull requests that their AI agent, Devin, generated overnight.
Which is incredible.
They spend 0% of their time worrying about missing semicolons, broken servers, or debugging a faulty script. Which means they get to spend 100% of their time focusing on the actual problem space and talking to the customer.
They are the architect, and the AI agents are the construction crew pouring the concrete and laying the bricks.
Exactly. And structurally, moving from a relay race of handoffs to a single captain commanding a fleet of agents naturally creates the ultimate competitive edge for a small business.
Mm.
It directly solves the most crippling vulnerability that large organizations face.
Which is coordination cost. The report brings in a brilliant insight from Jonas Zhang, the chief product officer at Laurel.
Yeah, her point on this is spot on.
She points out that the primary bottleneck for growth in massive companies is not a lack of engineering talent, and it is certainly not a lack of funding. The bottleneck is the coordination cost.
And Zhang defines coordination cost as the sheer volume of meetings, synchronization syncs, status updates, and alignment emails required just to ensure 100 people are walking in the same direction.
We have all lived through this nightmare. I mean, you spend 3 hours sitting in cross-functional alignment meetings talking about the work you are theoretically going to do just so every department is on the same page.
And by the time the meetings are over, you have absolutely zero energy or time left to actually execute the work.
Exactly. But as Zhang notes, small AI-augmented teams move blindingly fast because they operate with zero coordination cost.
The math is undeniable here.
Mm.
The larger the human team, the more the coordination cost grows exponentially. It just eats away at the actual productive output.
Yeah.
But if one captain is directing a team of AI agents to build a feature, they don't need to hold a weekly alignment sync with the agents.
Right. They don't need to check in on Devin's feelings.
No, they don't need to draft a carefully worded email to Devin to make sure they share the same strategic vision. They simply give the instruction and the agent executes.
So by adopting the company OS, a small business keeps its human footprint incredibly tiny, which keeps them agile. But because of that 8x efficiency multiplier we talked about, their output remains massive.
They punch way above their weight class.
They are, as the report explicitly states, effectively outshipping massive competitors who are still suffocating in the handoff era. But clearly, you don't just wake up one morning with zero coordination costs and a fully functioning automated sous chef. Like, how does a company actually get there?
It's a journey, for sure.
The report outlines an AI maturity scale that businesses need to assess themselves against.
And it is a critical reality check. Because the evolution toward a company OS happens in distinct stages. Level one is where most of the general public currently sits.
Okay, what does level one look like?
It involves treating AI purely as a chatbot, You log into an interface, ask it a question, maybe have it summarize a long article, and you read the output.
So like a really smart search engine.
Basically. It's a useful personal productivity tool, but it is highly isolated. It does not structurally change how the business operates.
Then you graduate to level two. This involves automating repeatable sequences using trigger-based workflows.
This is more advanced.
Yeah, you're setting up basic rules where if X happens, the system automatically triggers Y.
You're moving from isolated manual queries to connected processes.
And then we jump to level four, which is building shared infrastructure by actively contributing to the company OS, which immediately makes me pause.
You notice the gap.
I am looking at the outline of these maturity levels from the source. And wait, the source goes from level two directly to level four. What happened to level three? Did an AI agent eat it?
The text does seem to vault directly over it.
Hmm.
But analyzing that omission actually perfectly illustrates the reality for a small business owner navigating this transition.
Level three is basically the awkward teenage phase of automation.
That's a good way to put it.
You outgrow the basic triggers of level two, but you aren't quite sophisticated enough to have a fully automated, repository-driven company OS yet. You're just stumbling around trying to figure out how to connect different APIs without breaking everything. So the report just mercifully skips straight to the adult phase of level four.
That is a very apt way to look at it. Once a company moves past basic isolated automation, the leap to a fully integrated executable infrastructure is just so paradigm shifting that whatever messy intermediate step exists simply becomes irrelevant to the end goal.
It requires a deliberate, aggressive evolution. You can't just mandate a level four company OS tomorrow morning if your team is still struggling to formulate a coherent prompt for a level one chatbot.
No, it's a progression. And the anchor here, the actionable reality for the business owner listening, is that a proven path now exists. By actively choosing to keep your human headcount small and heavily investing your resources into building this automated infrastructure, you aren't just desperately trying to survive in the shadow of Goliath anymore.
You're building a better ship.
Exactly. You are actively choosing a structural model that is fundamentally faster and more resilient. Big tech companies are bogged down by the gravitational pull of their own massive headcounts. The small AI native team is completely unburdened by that gravity.
So what does this all mean? Let's tie these threads together. What the source material is telling us is that the concept of the recursive loop, this idea where AI helps humans build better tools, which in turn makes the team faster, which allows them to build even more advanced tools, that loop is no longer a luxury reserved for elite, multi-billion dollar frontier AI labs.
The secret is out.
The secret is out, and the tools are available to everyone. By building a company OS, turning those dusty static PDF playbooks into executable agents living in a GitHub repository, and fully adopting the captain model where one non-technical person owns the delivery of a whole feature.
You change everything.
A small team can genuinely leverage those 8x efficiency gains we saw in the Anthropic data. You eliminate your coordination overhead, you stay incredibly lean, and you deliver products at a scale that, you know, prior to June 2026 was strictly the domain of the Fortune 500.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it leads to a rather profound realization about the future of commerce.
Yeah.
We have spent this deep dive dissecting how the company OS effectively drops the internal coordination cost of a business to absolute zero.
Right.
We've seen how all the bricks and mortar execution, the actual typing of the syntax, the drafting of the emails, the provisioning of accounts is being increasingly handled by autonomous agents.
The execution basically becomes a commodity.
Precisely. If the execution is virtually guaranteed by the agents and the coordination overhead is entirely gone, then the only remaining bottleneck for a small business is the raw quality of their ideas.
Wow. That is heavy.
Which leaves us with a critical, provocative question for you to consider as you look at your own business. What happens to your industry when success is no longer dictated by who has the most employees or who has the budget to write the most lines of code, but purely about who understands the customer's problem the best?
That is the real paradigm shift. It circles all the way back to that feeling we talked about at the very beginning of the show, that frustration of feeling outgunned by massive engineering teams. The truth is, that massive engineering team, with all its handoffs and coordination meetings, it might just be an anchor holding Goliath down and that tiny rowboat you're sitting in. With the right automated infrastructure, it might just be the fastest vessel on the water.